Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the carter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just text somebody, look them in the face, and tell them, I'm in his hands.
Amen. Amen. You know, please forgive us. We were experiencing some technical difficulties with our show with HubNet. Amen. But we are back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. My good brother, Akim, are you with me, doctor?
Yes, sir.
All right, all right. So, yeah, we back up and running now. Amen. We just going to keep on going along with what we started. And the Lord will be magnified anyhow. Amen.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, you know, we were on some listener questions, amen, and I have a few questions that were posed to me. You guys know that I do not mind answering listener questions, amen. So I have four, actually, and then we're going to just jump right into the word after that, amen. So the first question is, good afternoon, Pastor Dante. Will God still bless me even though I am a fornicator? Okay. Well, as you read through the Bible, particularly if you read through the stories and the history of Israel, we know that many of them did wicked in the eyes of God. There were times when they were pleasing God. There were times when they displeased God. You find that David, the king, was every type of sinner that you could think of, but he was a man after God's own heart. But the secret to David's success was that he knew that he had to eventually go to God. So when he had to go to God, he had to repent. If you read the Psalm 51, that's David repenting for the sins that he did in causing an issue between him and God by taking on another man's wife. And again, that's adultery, but adultery, fornication, lying, and whatever other type of sin you could think of, it all falls in the same boat. So what I will say to you is, if you know that you are sinning and you know that you need to go to do things right, and you know and you feel a tug on your heart, then it's time for you to stop, and it's time for you to try to get your life right and in order. But the first way to do that is to go to God and repent of your sins, asking God to forgive you and asking God to give you the strength to not to do it. And there are some times that, you know, like Brother Paul said, you know, he was given a thorn in his flesh that kept him humble. And in a situation like this, if you know that you're doing wrong, I would go to God and pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins. And then from there, ask God to help you to stay focused and help you to focus on him. That would be my suggestion for you. Start there and listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to you. Amen. My second question is, I have read in the Bible where at time God allowed a man to have more than one wife. Why did it change? That sounds like somebody that loves women, amen. Well, you know, and as God created the law for Israel, he set it into place. Before this law, you know, things were, he needed the world to be populated, and so he allowed things to go. But when he established his law became order, and the order became just. So when God said that you should not covet another man's wife, and you should not have, you need to focus on him and that one wife, that was what he said. So whenever God allowed something to go on, it was because he allowed it. When he put a stop to it, he put a stop to it. God is sovereign. God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and whatever God says is right. even if it's wrong by human standards, it's right by God's standards. Amen. How do you know when you've been called to preach is the third question. Well, that's a touchy subject. How do you know when you've been called to preach? You will hear, sometimes audibly you will hear it, sometimes you will see a vision, sometimes God will put different things in your path. After you've been called by God to be a disciple, as which we are all called to be disciples, then you will receive a call to preach. But I always ask preachers when I meet them and they say they've been called, I ask, and I look for one specific thing for them to tell me when I want them to express their calling to me. And even if I don't hear that specific thing that I look for, it doesn't mean that they haven't been called. But if you feel a tug in your heart that's pulling you to the church, that's pulling you to the ministry, and you find yourself wanting and desiring to preach a word, and then I would ask you that, and I would urge you to again seek the Holy Spirit. Seek the Holy Spirit. Seek God out and ask God if this is what He has for you. If you feel a tug, if you feel that tug to ministry, then ask God, is this what He has for you? And listen. But stay in deep, deep, deep prayer and listen. And listen to God. And as pastor, God will tell the pastor that you have been called, but the pastor's job is to wait for you to tell him that you've been called. Once you tell the pastor that you've been called, the pastor can confirm God's calling on your life. And from there, He will teach you. See, God does two things. God anoints you, and God calls you. The word anointing means to be given the power of God to perform a specific task according to His will. Thus being said, God calls you, and He anoints you. It is the pastor's job to teach you, equip you, and appoint you. So from there, your teacher, your leader, your pastor will teach you, equip you, and appoint you. And then from there, however, whatever stages that you have to go through in order to receive your license to preach, from there you do what is required of you. But that's the way it starts. Amen. So ask God what He would have for you to do and be in deep, deep consecrated prayer. And watch, God will give you your answer. Number four, good evening, Pastor. Why does it seem like the bad people thrive and those who try to serve God diligently suffer? Well, the Bible speaks plainly that those who do bad and have no thought of God have received their reward. Those who diligently seek God and may suffer and may go through things, we know that our reward will come in this life and our reward will come into the next life. Now, I'm not saying that God did not call us to suffer, to go through everything in order to reach heaven, because Jesus said, I come to give life and life more abundantly. So Jesus did not come here to give us a life of suffering or for us to experience life of suffering just for us to get to heaven. I don't agree with that at all. Jesus wants us to enjoy our life here on earth as well as tell somebody about Him. So I do believe that those who are thriving, they're thriving because Satan does not deem them as a threat. Let me say this, and I'm going to move on. If Satan has you in his grips, and he's just throwing money at you. You get the money, you get the cars, you get the women, you get the, you know, all of these different things. And yet you're not giving God the praise for it. You just think that it's you that's giving you that's making all this stuff happen. You're doing it. It's all about you. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're gonna find yourself knee deep in the pit of hell. And at that moment, Satan will be sitting there laughing at you because you spent your whole life not giving God the praise for what he has done for you. So you can sit here and look at it two ways. Satan doesn't deem you as a threat, so he don't care about you because he already know he got you. Or the person is not giving God the praise for what God is doing, for what God is blessing them with. Either way it goes, that person is going to have to answer to God. So when bad people thrive and the good ones suffer, it's just part of the process. God doesn't pick and choose anybody who, oh, I'm going to make them suffer this week and I'm going to make them thrive this week. That's not the way that God works. You can't blame God for the way that things happen in this world. When a baby is killed, they look to God. Well, that wasn't God. That was the evil that men do. That was the evil that plagues this world. When good people are hurt, it's not God. It's not God. It's the evil. So I want you to think about that. Understand that. We throw everything in God's face, and it's his fault when it's the sin that corrupts. So what we ought to do is turn from our wicked ways and turn to God and stay at God's side. And I promise you, God will see you through it. We all suffer. We all go through. We all deal with stuff. But my Jesus will see us through. I guarantee you that. So you may see somebody thriving and they don't give a crap about God. Guess what? They will have to answer. They will have to answer. But just know that Jesus said that he goes to prepare a place for us. And in my Father's house, there are many mansions. You may not have it on this side. You're going to get it on the next side. But you're going to have joy and peace on this side as well. Joy and peace. That surpasses all understanding. Trust and believe. Amen. With the fact of us only having a couple, maybe about roughly 17 more minutes into this show, I want to get right into my message for today, being that this is a special Father's Day edition, amen. The scripture will come out of the gospel according to Matthew, amen. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, amen. And it reads, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows: after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about it, these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is that of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being arose from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." For a subject today, the apple does not fall far from the tree. The gospel according to Matthew teaches us, the readers, that God was still in the blessing business. As the world fell knee-deep into sin, God's plan of salvation will come in the form of a Messiah that would have his precious blood spilled in order to redeem mankind back into God's good graces. This Messiah would be born from God and woman and thus would experience every type of sin that plagued humanity. God knew that the woman would love her child, would honor her child, and would always make sure that this child would have all that he needed and most of what he wanted. God's plan was solid, but to make it perfect, God needed two equal parts. Mary, we often talk about, but Joseph, her betrothed, her husband, is normally pushed to the side. Now, it is true in this contemporary era that the mother carries most of the parental load, but the father's role is just as important as the mother's. Joseph, being a just and honest man, loved his soon-to-be wife, Mary. Though the Bible does not give a lot of information on his life, good old Pastor Dante can fix that issue. Joseph, like most men, would be excited to hear the news that they will be soon to be a father. Most men who hear that cry, or some men run around in circles in excitement, and some just fall on their knees and pray to God. Well, Joseph did all of these things, but he did it in a fit of despair, for he and his betrothed had not been intimate. And as something great grew inside of Mary, God knew that Joseph would not harm, hurt, or place her in danger. In fact, he knew that Joseph would listen and seek God on what he needed to do. Psalms 5:12 says, "For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield." God saw Joseph as a perfect embodiment of a father. He was full of integrity. He had strong beliefs, and he always sought to do the right thing. You know, there's an old saying that says it takes a special type of man to raise a child that he did not help to create. Let me say that again. It takes a special type of man to raise a child that he did not help to create. Joseph had the task to protect God's investment. A father's role is one that builds a child into being a strong asset to the community. A father should correct, fix, protect, provide, discipline, love hard, and laugh often with their children. For most little girls, their father is the first man that they fall in love with. For young boys, their father is their first best friend and can do all things. And a father is their son's greatest superhero. But getting back to Joseph, we find that he was all that and more for Jesus. As Joseph lived his life, he made his wages as a lowly carpenter. It is stated that Jesus himself was a carpenter by trade, which meant that Joseph taught Jesus all that he knew when dealing with the craft of carpentry. Well, my friends, the apple does not fall too far from the tree. Though the Bible does not record anything dealing with the life of Joseph after Jesus turned 12, his character, his love, and his compassion can be seen through the eyes of his son. Well, God entrusted Joseph with a great responsibility. Thus, Joseph entrusted Jesus with a great responsibility. God knew that Jesus needed the love of an earthly father to teach him how to love everybody, how to heal the afflicted, how to have joy in the midst of danger, and to show him that the things of this world may seem dark, but there is something inside of you that will bring light to those who will listen to your story. Though this world tries to diminish the father's position in the lives of his children, remember that it is just as important as a mother's position. Satan's only desire is to see that family, a husband, and a wife is destroyed Well, I rebuke the works of the enemy at this moment. It's time that we as men retake our rightful places as the head of the family, the head of the tables, and the head of the society. It's time that we snatch our children off the streets, pull up their pants, turn them around, and dust them off and call them blessed and not curse them. Ephesians 6:4 states, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instructions of the Lord." And because of my subject, I must say that what we teach our children is what they will show this world. We know what type of father Joseph was. Well, what type of father is Jesus? He is a father to me, not biological, but he calls us all his sons and his daughters. He is always seen as seen the greater good in the people. He never cared about what people had to say about him or about his ministry or what they talked about, even if they ridiculed him for his beliefs. Jesus was a radical teacher, amen. Jesus viewed his children as little sheep, and if one would go astray, he would run off after that one, securing it, loving on it, and with all his power, try to keep it safe. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go." But I don't know about you, but a little faith goes a long way. When I look at Jesus, I see his earthly father all over him. The same strength that Joseph possessed, he passed down to his son. And the same strength that Jesus possessed, he has passed down to us. Proverbs 13:22 declares, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." So I dare you, and I urge you, and I challenge you, for every man that listens to this message, to stand up and be a mighty man. Stand up, you great fathers. Hold your heads up high. Be the guide that your children need, for they are a representation of you. And if you do not have a child, there are a lot to go around. Be that pillar of faith and allow the Lord to use you. And then and only then can you call yourself blessed. Then and only then can you call yourself a father. And then and only then can you call yourself a mighty man of valor. You see, it's time that the men take their place. I know that Satan is trying to wipe us out. Satan is telling the woman that she don't need the father. But I'm here right now to let you know that God set it up in the beginning that man should not live alone. He presented us with a wife. He presented us with a family. So I'm here to let somebody know right now that you need to get back in touch with your family, that your family needs to hear from you. Your family needs their father. And if it's time right now that the father get back into the lives of your children. Teach them what thus says the Lord. Teach them how to live a virtuous life. Show them how to be a man. And show them how to love their women. Show them what love is all about. That's a job of a father. Teach the child. Teach the daughter how a man should treat her. And teach a son how to love his woman. There's not enough love going around. And that's where it starts. I pray that this message was a blessing unto you. And Brother Akim, do we have anybody on that may want to give a word?
We do have a few folks on. If anyone wants to be heard, talk to the pastor, press the number one. I'll get you right through.
Amen. Amen. You see, a father's role is so important. That's why Satan is trying to wipe us out. It's important. Amen. We have just about 5 minutes left. If you want to give a word, the floor is yours.
But you have to just press the number one. Here we go.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hello, it's Sister Tremaine.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you so much for that awesome word. I really appreciate hearing that, and hopefully that message touched all the fathers out there, and that it, you know, penetrated their heart, and to hear that, you know, that their fathers are still being uplifted even though society tries to, you know, tear them down, that this be a motivation for them to keep pressing forward.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that word.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Brother, can we have anybody else on that may give a word?
We have a few people. No one's pressed one. This is your last chance, guys. You want to get your time in before we end the show.
Amen. 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 So, Father, brother, how was your Father's Day?
Oh, it was good. It was good. I got to rest a little bit, ate some good barbecue, spent some time with my dad, and, you know, just took it as a day to just, you know, de-stress. So I didn't want to do too much heavy thinking. You know, just wanted to take one day for myself.
Yep. Amen, doctor. Amen. Well, I'm glad that you got that day to enjoy, and may your family be blessed as always, doctor.
Thank you. Yours too, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, as we're winding down to the end of this show, I want you all to know that it is truly a blessing to be here. You know, Satan tried to stop the show this afternoon, but guess what? We came back strong, and God blessed it, and that's all that really matters. And I pray that, you know, those of you who are listening, I pray that you have been blessed by this message. And if God is working in your life, if God is working in your life, tell somebody about this show. Amen. And by the way, Brother Kim, Sister Tremaine told me to tell you, my wife told me to tell you, Happy Father's Day. She forgot to mention it.
Oh, thank you so much. Much appreciated.
Amen. Amen. All right, on behalf of the good brother Hakim Nuba, this is Pastor D. Townsend. You have been listening to the Jubilee Affair. We are signing off. Good night, and God bless.